You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Parliamentary Select Committee's failure to ban the private sale of fireworks this week. Let's walk through the context. What led the Te Puna Maunga Authority to call for this ban?
So folk might recall that back in April of this year, and again, deja vu, we're in the middle of our level 4 lockdown there. There was a huge blaze of fire on Maungere, Mount Wellington, caused by fireworks, which is quite bizarre and unsettling in terms of that time of the year, the circumstances, and of course the many, many calls for people to protect the sacred taonga that we have. That was the second fire within 6 months from the previous Guy Fawkes on Maungere, where another huge blaze had been caused by fireworks in the hands of reckless individuals. We also had fires last Guy Fawkes in 2019 on Maungafo Mount Eden and also Takaronga Mount Victoria. And in previous years, there's been incidents of fire on the Te Puna Maunga. And we said back in April this year that that was the last straw for so long as private sale of fireworks occurs. We now have a policy that during Guy Fawkes year in, year out, while that situation is maintained, the Te Puna Maunga will be closed to the public. And that's a very serious point to reach, isn't it, insofar as these are beloved landscapes in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland, beloved by mana whenua. They speak to our self-identity as the people of the land and also to the many local communities for each of these Te Puna Maunga. So that's the background to it. It's not a satisfactory situation to be in terms of sharing these spaces. But what else can we do to protect these very precious taonga tiki iho that have been handed down by the ancestors?
So let's touch on, you've been talking about evidence-based concerns in the face of the Select Committee stating that competing interests need to be balanced. Since there's evidence-based concerns about fireworks-related harm and damage to property and physically to the taonga, that seems to me like an example of something that would come before any sense of competing interest. Usually, if something's broken, you fix that first and foremost above the wishes of other parties. What do you sort of make of that?
That's absolutely right. For whatever reason, the parliamentarians on the Select Committee have reached that view. But that does fly in the face, doesn't it, of evidence-based proven harm. And that's to the Te Puna Maunga, these ancestral landscapes so important to Aucklanders, New Zealanders and overseas visitors. But so too, there have been for many years now calls for a ban on the private sale of fireworks. Fire Emergency New Zealand supports such a ban. Local Government New Zealand supports such a ban. Animal Welfare Groups support such a ban. Auckland Council supports such a ban. And if we look at other examples where there is evidence-based concerns with harm, we only need to think of, as one of those examples, the use of cell phones in cars. Clearly something that's popular with folk. I mean, we've all been there, done that. But with the increasing concerns and the evidence that supported such a ban in terms of use in cars, government of the day took the lead. And that was despite the fact that many people like to do that. But where there is harm caused, and we've seen this with the Te Puna Maunga, it's really time to take a stand and take leadership.
Sure. So the authority is seeking to meet with the Prime Minister to urge the government to take leadership. You just said that Auckland Council supports the ban. Well, do you expect that council might join you in taking this issue to the Beehive?
Yes, we're very closely aligned. That is the Te Puna Maunga Authority with Auckland Council and the leadership of Auckland Council. Very strong representations have been made and very well boasted by Councillor Cathy Casey and Councillor Fessel Collins. It's certainly supported by the Mayor and the governing body as well. So we're very strongly aligned with Council. We're very happy to, in a collective way, take those concerns to meet with the PM. Of course, there are very pressing matters at the moment, as we know, for our country and our nation in terms of the well-being of our people during this pandemic. But it won't be too far away, will it, in terms of Guy Fawkes coming upon us. And we just don't want to see our precious taonga and you know those wonderful landscapes that we all enjoy so much under threat. And so we're really making that call for government to take a stand here and really show leadership.
Highlighting the fact that it can cause harm to these Tonga is something that possibly needs to be honed in more as a message. I wonder, to what extent does this problem also require better education for Aucklanders more generally about how Te Puna Maunga are a Tonga and how we should be interacting with them?
I think that's right. And if we think about the Te Puna Maunga Authority and why we came into existence, and it's probably important to recall we came into existence in the latter half of 2014, so a very young entity in that sense. And we have a single purpose, and that's a statutory purpose with our own legislation, and that is essentially to restore and protect the Te Puna Maunga. And so education and having as a focus the protection and care of these precious Tonga is what we're all about. And that is a very long journey, isn't it? And it's something that won't happen overnight. But even in the short time we've been in existence, it's been very pleasing to see the great support that Aucklanders and each of the communities around the Te Puna Maunga have shown. The amount of volunteer work, the embracing of the policies and goals that the authority is trying to pursue. We have to think of the programs such as alcohol and smoke-free places, the pedestrianisation of the relevant Te Puna Maunga, where the priority has been the safe places for people to walk up the Maunga rather than having to worry about cars and trucks and buses on narrow carriageways, the pest and weed control that's ongoing, the restoration of native plantings, and just really understanding what these places are. And a very tangible way that message has been embraced too is if we think, you know, back a few years before the authority, these places were, you know, seen and known as, you know, parks, places to play, and volcanic cones. And even in the nomenclature now, you know, just the reference to Te Puna Maunga, ancestral spaces, carries a lot of weight, doesn't it, in terms of what that means to people. So it's a long journey. The authority will be here forever. And as you say, education is a part of that package of measures that we need to have in place for this long-term goal of the ongoing protection of our Te Puna Maunga.
You mentioned the fact that this is an entity that came about in 2014. For the benefit of listeners who are unaware, the conception of the authority came about as a part of a Treaty of Waitangi settlement. Of course, under Te Tiriti, providing for the well-being of Te Puna Maunga comes before any of the conversation we're even having, and that comes before being able to belittle something as a competing interest. So I wonder what it signals to you that this government will still conduct policy in a way that doesn't ensure Te Tiriti or Waitangi comes first without prompt from a third party?
It's a very important point you raise. So if we sort of unpick that, what we have now seen is a select committee comprising parliamentarians from different parts of Parliament in terms of party representation. And that is why, in terms of the very disappointing outcome of that process, despite all the evidence put before the select committee, we as Mana Whenua, and in this context for the Te Puna Maunga, that are the tribes of Waiahua, Ngāti Whātua and Marutuahu, who were the Tamaki collective entity that negotiated and brought home the treaty settlement, that delivered the transfer of the Te Puna Maunga, and also providing for an entity with Mana Whenua at the table for the first time. We are the treaty partner with the government, and that's why we're seeking for government to take this leadership as the next step where the select committee has failed to do this. These fires caused by reckless individuals, and of course that's not everyone, but there are just some people who can't be trusted through private sales of fireworks to take the necessary care despite all the warnings, despite all the messages about protecting wahi tapu. These fires have destroyed the fabric of these Te Puna Maunga. Wahi tapu have been destroyed, and we're calling on the government as treaty partner to do what's required here.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.